time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe, because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. I dreaded preaching this week. It happens on occasion, but it's never happened for the reason that I didn't want to follow the sermon from a high school senior. For those of you who don't get that, we are having a series of the three seniors this year offer the sermon, and last week was that first offering. Chelsea Hurt, it was an amazing sermon. A little moving. Still gets me, and if you were not here to experience it, please go online, go to our webpage, click on the sermon podcasts, scroll down to the bottom, and listen to what Chelsea had to share. I highly recommend it. Next week, we'll have the second installment. Come and hear Cooper and support him. Who is Jesus? The church, in their early struggles, tried to answer this question by stating Jesus to be one who was there from the beginning of time, that he was one with God, that he was God, that he came down from heaven, was born into humanity for our salvation, that in his full humanity he suffered, he felt what we felt, that he died, and that death could not hold him to the grave, that he rose again to life from the dead, and then that he did ascend back into heaven, that he would be the judge of all humanity, and that his kingdom would be for eternity. Now, I know the early church leaders wanted to clarify who Jesus was, but creedal statements alone by themselves sometimes feel like the fine print on that little folded up piece of paper that you find tucked into the box of an over-the-counter medication. You know, it's all wadded up in there, and if you unfold it, unpack it, and there's a lot there, except maybe the clarity that you were seeking. You may also notice that in the leaders of the early church, when they wrote the creeds, they chose to leave off that long list of side effects that occur if you really consume Jesus as he prescribed, right? Because there's a lot of side effects if you actually welcome Jesus in and live that life. But don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that there is anything wrong with the creeds for the purpose in which they were written. I'm just saying, for me, simply reading them on face value leaves me longing for more. Who is Jesus? Do you ever feel like just throwing up your hands and shouting to Jesus, "How long will you keep us in suspense? Tell us plainly who you are." I mean, this is a 2,000-year-old question. Who's Jesus? Defining Jesus by one source would be like randomly asking one person to define from their personal experience what a mother is. There are so many factors, so many possible perspectives that could come into play. Was the mother being described a single mother? And if so, was it by choice? Was she happily married or unhappily married? Was she loving and compassionate or not? Was she emotionally present with her children? Was she the sole provider, one who sacrificed everything for the betterment of her child? Was she an addict, or did she model the courage to live in recovery? Was she honest? Was she funny? Was she a good cook? The list could go on and on. For better or for worse, each person's experience of their mother is unique. So if only one person's perspective was used to define what a mother is, the rest of us could not relate. And we couldn't even believe it. I used to wish that I could have gone back and to meet Jesus face to face so that I could really know who Jesus was. But it's pretty clear that it's not that simple. In the gospel reading today, the Jews gathered around Jesus and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? How long will you keep us in suspense?" They were longing for this. "If you're the Messiah, tell us plainly." They also wanted the quick answer. Some of them, they were only hearing stories of who this Jesus was. But others actually did get to meet him face to face. Those who did encounter Jesus described him in a variety of ways. In the Gospel of John alone, Jesus is called many things: Rabbi, Messiah, Son of God, King of Israel, a teacher who has come from God, a prophet, Savior of the world, King, Holy One of God, a good man, Lord, the one who baptizes with the Spirit. He's also described from other perspectives. He's described as merely Jesus, son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know. And he was described as a deceiver, demon-possessed, blasphemer, a Sabbath-breaking sinner. Though some of these sound the same, if we studied them deeply in their context, we would find that each is unique. In this uniqueness, I'm grateful that we have more than one person's perspective of who Jesus was. We don't have to personally relate or personally experience all perspectives of Jesus in order to believe the truth in them. Who is Jesus? In Scripture, he engaged with many different types of people. What might each of them say if they were describing who Jesus was? What would the wine steward at the wedding of Cana say? What would the Samaritan woman at the well say? What about the woman caught in adultery? What about the high priest and others who feared losing their power? What about the mother of the child who Jesus raised from death? What about the blind man whose sight was restored and the leper whose skin was made clean? What about those who were hopeless and through an encounter with him found hope? What about those whose lives were a living hell and whose sins were forgiven and whose lives were restored? Perspectives. Who is Jesus to you? This week we lost somebody, the world did, and it affected me a lot. You know me, I like to get teary anyway, but I'll try not to. Rachel Held Evans died this week. Many of you have no idea who that is. Rachel, a young mother. She was someone who was raised in a tradition, very faithful, but raised in a tradition that had all the answers. Her tradition told her who was in and who was out. Who was clean, who was unclean. Who was worthy, who was not, who was saved, and who she needed to save. And she would try to save you. She was a full-on, what we would call back in Oklahoma, a Jesus freak. She loved Jesus from the perspective that she was taught growing up. But as she grew older, as she moved into young adulthood, her perceptions, her perspective of who Jesus was began to change. She began to question, why are they out? And so why are they in? Does the scripture really say that? What she was taught? But she wasn't taught this piece over here, and look how it compares to this piece of scripture. Her perspective of who Jesus was grew. But she had a special opportunity because Rachel, well respected in the tradition that she was raised in, was a writer. And she used her voice. She talked about her journey from knowing all the answers to experiencing the mystery of Jesus. She moved from one that had all the answers to being Episcopalian. I don't know what to tell you about that. Certainly not going to give you all the answers. Maybe not any, but we sure love to ask a lot of questions, right? And she found Jesus in that. She found Jesus in the liturgy. She found Jesus in the uncertainty, in the questioning, in the relationships. But what she did through her platform was not only change her perspective of who Jesus is, she helped heal people whose perception of who Jesus was made them not worthy. She had a voice for those who had been shunned by the tradition that she grew up in because their perspectives had begun to change too. She pooled people together who loved Jesus like she did, but had found themselves lost without community. She gave them permission to wrestle, permission to come together and not have the answers, and permission to find Jesus in the mysteries. She restored hope to people. She restored hope to so many in the LGBTQ community because she would go out and support them in particular. To have one perspective of who Jesus is not who Jesus is. Each of us were raised in a perspective, and we can't just simply hear each other's perspective. We have to be with somebody in their perspective. Jesus traveled. He experienced people. Those who simply heard they needed more. Those who were told that they were out needed more. As believers, as those who profess that we are students, followers, disciples, whatever it is that you call yourself, Episcopalians, people don't understand that in the real world, so sometimes we have to use other language. But what is our role and our perspective that we bring to the table? Do we have a platform to be able to allow ourselves to grow and then share that perspective? The more that we experience Jesus in other people's perspective, the wholeness Jesus comes. Amen.